This is Reverend Kirk Lawton, minister at Ocean Lakes Family Campground, and this is our podcast. Our prayer is that this message may enrich your life as you find God especially meaningful to you. Thank you for worshiping with us. Some years ago, I was at a convention where I heard a speaker say these words: "We are living today in a gap between the world that is and the world that ought to be, the real world versus the ideal world. The hope that once burned so brightly in our hearts has flickered and almost died. There is discouragement, rumblings of division, and worst of all, disillusionment with churches, which issues in desertion and defection in ever-increasing numbers." "Our churches are in trouble," said that speaker. This has come as no surprise because we've always been in trouble. Jesus promised those who followed him would have three things. One, they would be absurdly happy. Two, they would be entirely fearless. And three, they would always be in trouble. For a long time, we have qualified on all three counts, but now only one. We're still in trouble, but we are no longer entirely fearless, and we are not absurdly happy. At that convention I was talking about a moment ago, I listened as another speaker echoed those similar sentiments. He said, "We're living in a restless world. It has never been more evident than right now. The cry goes up from millions, 'Oh, where can rest be found?' It is the deepest longing of the human heart to be able to find rest, peace, and contentment." Now, I introduced those thoughts of two speakers at a convention I attended by saying that I heard those speeches some years ago. Actually, those words could have been spoken yesterday or this past week, but actually, when I said I was attending a convention, those words were spoken around 50 years ago. Perhaps you're saying to yourself, we don't have to have some great speaker or preacher to say that for us to know that things are really in a mess today. We know that already. Well, let's sort of bring it up to date. I read some time ago in a religious publication some other words that reflect where we are in our American culture today. I mentioned some of this last Sunday. Religious faith is under attack. Let me give you a few examples. A second grade student at a public school in one particular state was told that she could not sing the song "Awesome God" in an after school talent show. Pastor of a church in another state was ordered to stop holding meetings or Bible studies in his private home. Five Christian men were threatened with arrest for sharing their faith on a public sidewalk in another state. A Christian student at a particular university was threatened with having her degree withheld because she refused to write a letter to the state legislature expressing her support for homosexual adoption. And it doesn't stop there. We could go on and on and on. For example, the Little Sisters of the Poor, a group of nuns known for their charitable work helping the most helpless in society, found itself in the target of federal regulators because they refused to purchase insurance for their employees that included contraceptives and abortion-inducing drugs, both of which were prohibited by their Catholic faith. They were given the alternative of signing a form that they believed violated their religious beliefs. Yet the government sued the Little Sisters of the Poor all the way to the Supreme Court to try to force them to comply. You remember several years ago the Hobby Lobby case, and don't have to go into all of that. These are just a few examples of where we are today. Attacks on religion, religious freedom, are growing increasingly common, and they're likely to be more so in the days ahead. One reason is because religious faith no longer holds a favored status in our society. For many of the cultural upper crust who control education and the media power, religion is an antiquated practice that ought to be eliminated in modern society. There are groups that are increasingly vocal, such as the group you've probably heard about, Freedom From Religion. And they claim today that you don't need to have any religion. You need to be free from religion. And then there are those extreme examples of people who espouse a really harmful religion, as Christians see it, the Islamic terrorists. Just so many examples. But these are not the only ones who would destroy our historical Christian faith. One research group points out that about 20% of American people think that religious organizations are too concerned with money and power. They aren't looking for a better church. This group has totally turned away from the church. Well, in spite of all those who oppose what most of us would hold dear, our Christian faith continues to be a force for good in our society. America itself is the product of people of faith who came to these shores to gain religious freedom. Did you know that people of faith created the first colleges in America? People of faith created many of the hospitals that we depend on today. When natural disasters strike, typically the first ones on the scene to offer food, water, and support are faith-based groups who travel hundreds and thousands of miles to give their time and energy, not to get money, not to get power, but because their faith leads them to serve other people. People of faith through our churches offer a word of hope to a chaotic culture through the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In a song that we sometimes sing in our churches, the words go like this: in times like these, you need a savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. When we look around at our society, we see all the turbulence of the waves that threaten us. We may think sometimes how wonderful it would be if we could just find the solution to many problems that face us every day. But the truth of the matter is, our primary need is not for solutions, it's for application. In other words, we're not using the solutions that we already have. Dr. Jonas Salk discovered the polio vaccine. Did you know that he found it to be exceedingly difficult to get people to use that vaccine? When he was making an address to the Royal Society of Health Congress in England, he said that the discovery of the polio vaccine had brought to light one of the most important problems of the day. That is, the responsibility that people do or do not take for their own welfare. When we face personal and social problems today, we are prone to throw up our hands and cry out in despair, "Oh, I wish we had the solution to my problem." Well, Dr. Salk so vividly pointed out with his polio vaccine, we're not really willing to use the solution that is right before our eyes. We'll probably always have those who discount as impractical, unworkable, the plain, simple teachings of Jesus Christ, His Spirit, His approach, and His way. Real Christianity has never been tried and found lacking. Rather, in too many instances, it has not really been tried. You remember the old story about the conversation between two men? One man was making a tirade loudly against Christianity. He said, "You Christians say that you have the solution to the problems of the world. Well, Christianity has been around for over 2,000 years, but look at the condition of the world." The other man replied, "Friend, soap has been in the world longer than that, but look at the condition of your face." When are we going to learn that it's more than just a pious, worn-out religious phrase when we say, "Christ is the answer"? This rock is Jesus. He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. In Lewis Carroll's classic, Alice in Wonderland, there's a scene in which the March Hare, that's a rabbit, has spread some butter among the insides of his watch in an effort to make the watch run after it had stopped. Well, the Mad Hatter comments, "I told you butter would not help." To which statement the March Hare replied wistfully, "But it was the best grade of butter." People today knock themselves out trying to find happiness and peace. We run here and there, we buy this, we buy that. We look to be entertained everywhere we turn, but all of these answers don't really work any more than the best grade of butter. The scripture passage that I read earlier in this service from 2 Peter chapter 3, the first 13 verses, has a question contained in it. The question is this in verse 11. "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be?" Jesus' invitation is not for his sake. It is for our sake. And some are holding back from committing their lives to Jesus, and they're gambling with eternity. Maybe that someone is you. You may have said that sometime, one of these days, you're going to take that step. You're going to make that decision to turn your will and the care of your life over to the Lord Jesus. But when? Has God not done enough already? Are you waiting on Him to do something more? There's really no better time than right now to declare that you're going to wait no longer, but that you're taking Christ at His word. You're confident He is not going to let you down. Oh, what a great load could be lifted from your shoulders. You could walk out of here or from wherever you are as a different man, a woman, a happier boy or girl, if you'd only let Jesus have His wonderful way in your life. Yes, in times like these, we all need an anchor. And the only anchor that is strong enough to save us from drowning in our sins, from drifting away from God's love, is Jesus. In our service here today, we're going to offer the opportunity not to join a church. Here at Ocean Lakes, we don't have a church roll. It's not the official way of declaring that you're a follower of Jesus. But there's an invitation every Sunday. You've heard me say that many times. And the invitation is to let Jesus become your burden bearer. Would you let Jesus forgive your past sins, give you a cleansing, pardon, a new hope, a new spiritual power? That's what we all need to live in this old sinful world. And the question is, are you ready? No better time than right now to make that commitment to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Oh God, You know the hearts of every person who's been listening to my voice, but my prayer is that it might not be a preacher's voice that people are hearing now, but the voice of God, Your Holy Spirit speaking. Lord, may we know that Your voice is always one of love, and You love us so much that You gave Jesus, Your Son, to die on behalf of each of us to forgive our sins. Lord, may that person who's been holding back right now say, "Yes, Lord, I want Jesus to be my Savior." And when that has happened, then give joy, we pray, O God, a sense of peace within that You've promised to those who are Your children. So we offer all these our prayers in the wonderful name of Jesus, who wants to be our Savior. Amen.